Hi there, we are James and Dan, two-fourths of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favourite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's minds.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot, but it's called a knot.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack, but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
One in the books. Still two to go with the big show, so you got plenty of time to be with us. And if you're not with us, you're against us, and we want you with you. We're the usual suspects, and you are the suspects that keep us going right here on ESPN 97.5. What are you chuckling about?
LFA's tweet. The one where he put me in the Bane mask. I actually do a joke on stage about having a wake apnea. That at one point I was so fat, I had a wake apnea. And then I walked around looking like Bane. And then now my life has come full circle where El Jefe has tweeted me in a Bane mask. His Photoshop. But he said someone needs to let the vending machine know about Barry and his gun. Because one of these days he's going to be in a bad mood and is going to shoot up the vending machine for a Diet Coke. Almost just happened at the break.
I was going to say, funny he should bring that up now.
Almost just happened at the break, El Jefe. So... yeah, and Campy Broker said, buy a Glock, bro. It'll never jam. True. They're pretty reliable. But again, you can still, if you don't have the right kind of ammo, like most guns, I'm trying to remember which one I had that was the one that jammed. I think M&P Shield. But, most of them shouldn't if you have the right kind of putting in the right ammo. So, anyways, I digress.
Pig Valkyrie appreciated the advice. So we're always here to help. Help the peeps. And it is good advice. Because, you know, the other thing that makes it even more important is when you have kids.
Yeah.
Because they can't protect themselves in a lot of cases.
Right.
And so, you know, kudos to Bun for handling it the right way.
Right.
But, you know, again, his wife, and if you have children involved in it, it's just hyper important. Regardless of how many valuables you have or don't have in the house, the most important thing is the most valuable thing you got is your own life and the lives of those that mean the most to you, and you got to protect them.
Somebody said CHL classes will tell you you can't shoot on the spot. You're supposed to let them know you have a gun, can only shoot them in the midsection, use hollow points, and if you need to call police, don't tell them you shot. Tell them bring EMS. Hmm. I don't know about that first part, but I do know that you have to make a concerted effort to say, hey, man, if you don't get out of the car and leave, I'm going to shoot you. Like, you have to say stuff like that.
That's legit?
Yeah. According to the training, they say you can't just walk up and be like, bang! Like, nope, you've got to be like, hey, man. Like, that's why they'll tell you if you're in an altercation with someone and you're feeling threatened, you should let them know.
Okay.
You have to be like, hey, man, I'm feeling threatened. You should back up. You need to leave me alone. I feel like you're threatening me.
And point out you have a gun.
Yeah, and then you're like, hey, man, I feel like you're threatening me, and I have a weapon, and I will defend myself. Please leave me alone and back up. Because they said sometimes what will happen is you just be like, bleep me, no, bleep you, and then you shoot him. And then they're like, oh, he was so aggressive, and he had the gun, and he said, bleep that guy, and he just shot him. It was wild. So they'll tell you, yeah, you definitely
you can
need
bleep,
to let...
but you got to bleep while giving them fair warning.
Well, yeah, once you start firing, you can yell all kinds of stuff. No, I'm kidding. Don't be yelling things. Take that! Get some! No, this isn't Full Metal Jacket. You're not in a helicopter in Vietnam. You should just...
Instead of saying, I have a gun and I am prepared to shoot you, you can say, hey, MF-er, I've got a gun and I'm going to... your ass.
Yeah.
Just want to make sure that should be okay. We were talking too about the Blazer series. The one other funny thing I wanted to share with you guys, because we mentioned it the other day, was this Barry Trammell situation, where Barry Trammell and Westbrook, we know, have this running feud, and Russell won't answer his questions.
Right.
So immediately following the game, we heard from Damon Lillard, and we also heard from Blazers coach Terry Stotts. The funny thing is, Terry Stotts and the whole free world was made very well aware of what was going on between Russell Westbrook and Barry Trammell. So at the start of the press conference, Barry Trammell steps up to ask a question. And obviously you have to give your name and everything else. And Terry Stotts was hilarious. It sounded like this.
Barry Trammell with the Oklahoman.
Oh, it's so tempting.
Yeah.
It's so tempting.
Go ahead and do it.
No.
You'll make national news.
I'm going to take the high road.
You'll make national news.
I'm taking
news.
The high road. Barry Trammell, everybody.
You know that's you want so to great. Say no comment.
That's so great.
Why wouldn't you just take a shot? I mean, is he going to get fined? He should have trolled him.
I love that Barry was like, go ahead, do it.
Yeah.
You'll make national news now. Yeah. You do it. He took it in stride. That was really good.
Barry, I think, honestly, I mean, I did criticize him a little bit. For the most part, overall, I think he's handled the situation pretty good. It's just going back to that one point where Russell satisfies the requirement of speaking to the media when he just answers three or four questions. He doesn't necessarily have to answer Barry's.
Yeah, it doesn't say that you have to speak to every media.
Exactly.
You just have to speak to the media.
Correct.
Yeah.
So I think he's handled it for the most part. I mean, I wouldn't want to be that guy. Dude, I'm afraid to ask Pop a question. When I asked him a question, he reacted exactly the way I thought he would. Meow. So it's tough to...
You're afraid to ask Pop a question?
Don't act like I'm the only one.
Let me just tell you something, Barry.
For somebody there's who's criticizing the media are, yeah. not to ask questions and doesn't ask questions, just saying.
You're talking about me?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but it's not my job to ask questions.
It absolutely is.
No.
It absolutely is.
You're a part of the guys don't ask questions.
It absolutely is.
I'm not a reporter.
It doesn't matter.
I'm an opinion maker.
Do you have a credential?
Yeah, but
don't you want that credential?
Yeah,
it's a privilege.
You can totally ask the question. It's not a requirement. I'm not a writer. Writers need to ask their questions for their story. For me, I'm there to take in everything that occurs during the game, before the game, and after, and make opinions about it, and then come talk about it. I don't need any information from Russell Westbrook to formulate my opinions on how the game went.
Correct, but you have a credential. You attended the game,
but
correct?
It doesn't require me to ask questions. Yeah, of
but
Pop
you can't.
Anyone else.
But you can't sit and take shots at other people for not taking a question. Well, if you're asking a question, if you're not asking a question,
I'm not taking shots at anybody. I'm just taking shots at you.
He was taking shots. He was taking shots at everybody in that room.
Yeah, because if I'm a reporter, if I'm a beat writer, and you don't one time ask Mike D'Antoni or James Harden about him going for a triple double and being in the game unnecessarily.
You're there. You can ask
as a reporter.
But you're there. You can ask, bro. Reporter.
I already have my opinion. He
should have
been out.
Guy.
I don't need their response to formulate my opinion. He shouldn't have been in the game. That was my opinion.
Okay.
I don't have to write about it.
You don't have to write about it. But if someone else doesn't ask a particular question that you think everybody wants to hear, you should ask.
Not expect
somebody else to do it.
The other way to look at it is you're an extension of the people because the people can't. We obviously can't get press passes for everybody. So I think you're selling yourself and everybody else short by saying, well, I'm just on radio or I'm just on TV and I'm not a reporter like the beat writer. I think the bigger thing is if you've got a question because you're an intelligent sports viewer that's covering the event and you say, why isn't anybody asking this?
But to your point, Nick, this is in response to what you're saying. Nick was like, yeah, they get real sensitive about that and these guys know that they're not going to answer it. That was your response because I was like, I'm surprised no one has asked that question. I didn't say I wasn't judging them. I just said, I'm surprised nobody bothered to ask that. And in fairness, you said because they all know they're not going to get a straight answer.
I also said that they have a particular assignment and they're writing with a particular angle. And each one of those Chronicle writers have a particular angle and may not have to ask that question.
Mark Berman doesn't have an angle. The beat writer doesn't have an angle. Fagan, like, these are guys that are just reporting.
Oh, Fagan still has an angle because he's going to tell you the reason why the game went a certain way.
And you never know what their angle is. You don't know what their job is.
There are writers like AP writers like that.
Yeah, I know.
There are AP writers whose sole job is to summarize the night.
Right.
And to say, this happened, this was questionable, this is something that, like, that's the kind of person I'm talking about. If you're going in to make the case that this is going to be a sweep and here's why, then yeah, you're right. Him having a triple-double doesn't make sense. But if your job is to write the summary for the ESPN front page or write a summary for the AP that gets distributed nationwide, at some point you want to ask the question, was James in with 8 minutes to go and the game was obviously it well in hand just to get the triple-double?
That's absolutely false. Absolutely false.
What's false?
You don't have to ask that question if you're a Utah Jazz guy. You know what the story was? The story was Donovan Mitchell scoring 19 of his 31 points in the fourth quarter, okay? And that's what the Utah Jazz beat reporter is going to write about.
Okay.
He's going to ask questions about Donovan Mitchell. He's not going to ask any controversial questions.
I'm not expecting the Jazz guy to ask about a rocket. I'm certainly not expecting
that. But you don't know what their angle is. At some point, they don't have to ask anything that you're talking
about. There are plenty of writers in that room that are not Jazz writers that had the opportunity to ask that question that probably write generic recaps for whatever.
That's where you're wrong. That's where you're wrong. There's a story.
In a lot of ways, the people that are covering it for AP are, I don't want to say they're lazy, but all they're doing is the bare minimum to do what they're supposed to do, which is let's just get the game story out of the way, the final score, the high scores, take some quotes from, and get it out there as soon as possible.
Put it this way. There were reporters that would rather ask James Harden about his necklace that he wore in honor of Nipsey Hussle than to ask why he was in there trying to get a triple-double with 8 minutes to go and the game was on.
Did you notice that was the AP lady's second or third question? Did you notice that?
Yes.
So she asked the question that was for her story, and that was her additional question because she got an opportunity.
And that's okay.
Absolutely.
That's okay to ask about a necklace and not about the game.
Absolutely, because James Harden had a relationship
it's gonna draw
with Nipsey.
Too.
It absolutely is a worthy question. When Patrick Beverly went at, what's his name, Russell Westbrook, when he was still playing for the Rockets, what was the question? What was the question? What was the story? What were the words exchanged between you and Russell Westbrook? That was the story. People are looking for that one
also
thing.
Also a question that should have been asked that night. What were the words that were exchanged between you and,
that was the question I wanted to ask. Remember, we were talking about that in the media room.
And you said the same thing.
Right.
They won't give you that answer. Is that why people don't ask?
Because it depends.
Because they know they're not going to get the answer?
Sometimes they do. Sometimes they refrain from asking the question because they know they're going to get a generic response that's not going to be a good enough quote for them to put in the story.
Can I tell you something? Just if you're ever in that situation again, just one suggestion is we laugh about this, like when you say how to start a certain question or how to start a certain phrase. But if you start the question by saying, I know you probably don't want to answer this, but, and it kind of takes the sharpness.
Softens the blow.
Yeah, it softens the blow. Absolutely right.
You're telling the wrong person. I'm not going to ask those questions. No, I'm not a guy that goes and asks questions. That's not what I do. I come on here and I give opinions.
I respectfully disagree.
Unless I'm going to do an interview, I'm not going to be the guy in the media pool asking questions that the other people are too scared or too lazy to ask. I'm not going to do that.
Part of having the credential is being that guy.
My job is to come up here and talk about it and have opinions and try to be funny every once in a while.
That's fair. I mean, look, I get the radio argument you're making because it is a different dynamic. At the same time,
I mean,
we're still talking about the game.
I was literally the only radio guy in the room, was I not? I think there was one more.
No, there's plenty of radio guys there, dude. Adam Spolane is another radio guy. I mean, you can make the argument that Jerome is a radio guy. I was in there. You were in there.
He's a Chronicle writer.
Those are three radio guys right there. There's got to be another radio guy.
But I'm saying full-time on-air host.
Clanton was there.
He wasn't in the room.
Clanton was absolutely at the game. I don't know if he was in the media room.
That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about at the game.
I'm sure there's a radio guy,
though. Post-game. I'm pretty sure I was the only one there. And I'm not suggesting that I go all the time, but that's my point. Again, radio guys, we don't – because what we need is we need to see the game, get the atmosphere, get some other things to formulate opinions. We're not there to get details to write about or to do. Like we,
Barry, you were one. Big Sarge, the guy I introduced to you in front of the elevator, is another. And Adam Spolane, those are three right there.
But
those are three
on-air
radio guys.
On-air host.
Cool. I think – I disagree with that, but that's fine. I'm not trying to make it a
bigger deal.
Welcome
to disagree with me.
Yeah.
I'm telling you why I don't ask, because I don't need that to formulate my opinions. I'm surprised that in a room full of media people, no one asked. That's my point. Not one person bothered to ask about James Harden chasing a triple-double in a playoff
game. I think that's
game.
A bigger problem.
Not
I think
one
that
person.
People think it's
that's
a bonus,
surprising.
And players think and coaches think it's a bonus because in Houston they won't ask the questions like
exactly.
If they were in L.A., New York, or Chicago.
Boy.
But the bottom line is there should be more.
You don't think that would have been asked in New York?
Oh, God.
Absolutely.
Second,
it would
first
have.
Or second question.
Absolutely. And I'm not suggesting that – I mean, I think we're just a little more lax and relaxed and laid back, and our media doesn't get after it as much. But, yeah, I get you. Hey, right now, guys, I want to tell you about GetUpside. This is an outstanding app. If you're a cash money lover, and let's be real, who among us doesn't love cash money? You need to get Upside. Download it to your phone right now. It is completely free. You are going to get cash back on purchases that you're already making. That's how cool this app is. I love it. I've got family using it now. My wife uses it. Nick uses it. AJ uses it. This is a great app, and I've got listeners telling me they get $200 cash back, $90, $100, $5 on their first two times using it. It's outstanding. Download it right now. It's completely free. Just search Get Upside in your app store. Put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, and you're going to get extra savings on your first fill up through the app when you use my promo code Barry, because you can get cash back on fill ups at the gas pump up to 25 cents a gallon, by the way, at over 500 gas stations. It's that legit. And you can also get up to 35% cash back when you eat out at Wendy's, Popeyes, Burger King. There's a lot of different, over 100 restaurants around the city that you can get cash back at. But I'm going to give you an extra tip. Now, I haven't talked about this a lot when I talk about the app, but there's a way, just like I'm telling you to use a promo code to get a big savings, there's a way where if you refer a family member or a friend to use it, let's say you work at an office and all of y'all have company cars that you have to get filled up every once in a while. You download GetUpside, put in promo code Barry, you get your first savings. Then you have your friends use your promo code. Guys, you are going to start making so much money. This one guy, one listener that has $200, that's how he's making a lot of his money, is referrals. You don't have to do it to get cash back. You don't have to do it to get up to $90 like some of the listeners have, but I'm just telling you, it's an extra incentive and it's all for free. So make sure you go and download it. It's called Get Upside. Put in promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Knee Deep in Hour number 2, 3-hour show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Way Back Wednesday, songs pre-2009. With hard-to-understand lyrics. Nick, are you posting the lists, or will you?
I will. Okay. I will tweet it out.
All right, because I think sometimes peeps just want to know. Covered a lot of basketball already.
Yeah.
Rockets, by the way, speaking of basketball, trying to close out the Jazz this evening. As you said, you were contemplating going. Nick, I assume you'll be in attendance.
I will.
Let's hope they just get this thing done and over with.
That would be nice. You don't want this to go back to Utah. You do not want to see a game 6 in Utah where you probably are going to lose and end up in a game 7 must win at home and go 0-30 from 3-point range.
And you don't want to you just don't want to give them any more confidence. You don't want them to have the slightest glimmer of hope that they might get back in this series.
Step on their throat, end this now and move on. This is it's time. You gave them a win, they got a win. They earned it. It's time to move on.
Agreed. So, and then right after that, Golden State will try to do the same thing to the Clippers. If that does indeed happen, they're looking at Sunday as the earliest the next series could start, the semis between Warriors Rockets. So other than that, everything as we kind of laid out for you before the playoffs started is taking shape and has taken shape in the East. Everybody took care of business last night. Raptors sent the Magic home. Sixers sent the Nets home. Basically, we have our semis that everybody wanted to see in the Eastern Conference, as the Bucks will play the Celtics, the Sixers will play the Raptors, and that's what everybody wants to see in terms of compelling NBA basketball.
I don't think there's any surprises in that, right?
No.
Like, no surprises in the East, no surprises in those top four. Kind of surprised some of them lost at home in round one. But definitely getting the matchups that we thought we would. The West, here's what I wanted to ask you. I was trying to remember. Let's just paint a bad scenario here. Rockets lose tonight.
Okay.
How likely do you think it is that they lose the rest of the series?
It's still very, very slim.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think if they lose tonight, it's a lock they lose on the road in Utah. Is it not?
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. Because they played at their worst and won there, and they didn't face what they've faced in the past, like especially in the regular season when they've really gotten blown out.
Mm-hmm.
They've fallen victim to the crowd, momentum, you know, and just kind of didn't step up to answer the bell when they faced a little adversity. They couldn't have played any worse Saturday night and found a way to win. And so I think that they'll come in going, we've been here and done it when we needed to do it. Now, we may have let one get away the second game in Utah, But that doesn't mean that we're going to be intimidated by anything going on. Because, I mean...
You don't think that... Because part of my theory on this is that right now the Rockets are loose. They're like, all right, we lost mm-hmm. a game, but we're supposed to lose on the road. Mm-hmm. But we won one. We did our job. We went up there and split. That's all you really want to do. Now we come home. If something happens, they go cold from the three-point line like they did in the fourth quarter again, 8 minutes to go. They muster 12 points in the fourth quarter because it can happen even at home. Shooting could just go. Well, unless sure. that carries over and they have a bad night shooting and end up losing at the buzzer. The buttholes really start to tighten.
Well, no doubt about
because
it.
Because now it's like we can't go on the road and lose now. Because if we go up there and lose... Now they've forced a game seven and anything can happen. And I feel like the Jazz, if they come here and sneak one, then they're like, hey, we got nothing
There's
to
no
lose.
There's no doubt about it.
That's a big thing.
Here's the other thing.
I mean, you talk to a player, I guarantee you that they're like, oh, yeah, that's bad. If you lose game five.
If the scenario goes down like you just painted, the other thing that starts to filter into your mind is 0 for 27 in the fourth quarter against the Warriors.
Yep.
And the mishaps of the past where they couldn't put the ball in the basket. And
James sitting on the bench and D'Antoni twirling the clipboard because they have no idea what's going on.
It's gonna be the demons of the past start rearing their head as you get a little tighter with this team, if it's shooting in particular, which is why I was gonna say in a film session, if that lo and behold would happen, and God forbid it does, I would do is I'd replay the fourth quarter of game three and I'd say, do y'all see what happened there? The ball went through the basket and James, you shot it. And so, you shot it. So don't give me this BS about you don't know if you can make shots or you're worried about, oh, for this and oh, for that. You can do this and just get their focus right, because if you don't, you're right. The demons of the past are the biggest reason why they might start letting things slip away.
If they mess around and lose this game, I have a very, very big concern about the final two games. I'm not suggesting that they lose the series, but what I'm telling you is now you got to go back to Utah. On the road, hostile environment. Their fans are going to be even louder because now they know that there's a chance. They're in it. Mm-hmm. They are in it because basically this series is designed to go 2-0, 2-2, 3-2, back on the road, 3-3. Anything happens in game seven. And that's exactly the position they would be in. So it would be like they didn't lose one at home. It would be like the reason why it goes seven games and 2-2, 1-1, 1-1. That's a scary thing for me as a fan, because I've been around Houston sports a long time, and I can tell you that's not outside the realm of possibilities to happen. So
no, it isn't, and it's obviously you hope you don't get there, as I've said. But again, unlike a lot of other teams, the reason why it's even more important is because of the failures of the past are going to really mess with their heads. But that's why I said I'd start the film session with James making those back to back shots to start the fourth. At key times in the fourth quarter, because he's your most important resource to go, hey, man, we're done with that. You can make shots here.
You know what I would do is I would show film sessions of Chris Paul getting mid-range jumpers in the key and say, look, if our outside shot's not working, Chris, you need to step up. This is your game. This is almost as good as Eric Gordon shooting a three-pointer.
Okay.
I'd definitely show that film.
I told you about the film sessions that I've been in on, too. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that I would say is different than in the past, I remember the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors, and I remember the fact that Draymond was very demonstrative. It was the beginning of the whole Draymond being the problem child,
mm-hmm.
doing
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. And McHale looked at everybody in front of him and said, I need someone to knock him on his ass.
Mm.
And he wanted to go back to the old Celtic mentality. And he's like, I want one of you to send a message early that we aren't going to take the crap that he's been dishing out, and someone needs to knock him on his ass. The Rockets blew a big lead, lost game one. We walked into the gym. I looked at McHale. I said, so how'd that work with someone knocking him on his ass? And he goes, yeah, I'm still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was a disappointing message not given. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of thing where this team, I think, is more mature. I think that, like I said, that's the biggest thing that I saw in James. And I hope that they don't look too far back and realize that they can get where they need to go. So, all right, tonight, speaking of the Rockets, there's nothing like the atmosphere of the Toyota Center for playoff basketball. Rockets looking to close out the Jazz, as we mentioned. And you should be there, because the Rockets have just made a limited amount of tickets available. They released some yesterday. They released some today. You can get in tonight and see the Beard, CP3, and the Rockets look to close out the Jazz and advance to the second round of the playoffs. It's a 7 o'clock start time, so don't give me that late start. It's going to keep you away with the family and all that other stuff. 7 o'clock start time, you can see your team in the playoffs as a limited amount of tickets are now available. The doors are going to open at 5:30. You can get there early, get parking. Don't have to worry about beating traffic. If you can get there in advance, there's plenty to do because there's going to be a pregame happy hour, $3 beers, $1 hot dogs and sodas. And out on the pad, there's going to be a party starting at 4:30 with live music provided by Houston band Breakfast at Tiffany's. All you got to do to get tickets, Rockets.com. Real simple. It's your one-stop shop for everything Rockets. But go to Rockets.com and get your tickets to Game 5 right now so you can go tonight. And while you're at it, you can also shop around and maybe get yourself some merchandise. It's Rockets.com, your one-stop shop for everything Houston Rockets.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
May I have your attention, please? May I have your attention, please?
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, welcome to the second half of the show. 90 in the books, 90 still to go. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. It is a Wayback Wednesday, songs pre-2009 with lyrics that are tough to understand. Also, as promised, we had been promising that we're going to take care of you guys with some giveaways today. And the first one, it's about that time. It's movie tavern time. You can plan a great entertainment experience at your local movie tavern. You can enjoy a movie while ordering a wide selection of food and beverages directly from your reserved seat. It's a fantastic experience, and we're here to make sure that you get a chance to check it out. Caller number 13 right now, 713-780-3776. Caller 13, 713-780-ESPN. You get two free movie vouchers and a $25 food and beverage voucher for a movie tavern experience. Visit movietavern.com for tickets and information on fantastic promotions like $5 movie admission Tuesdays at a movie tavern. Check them out. They're kind of the new hip and cool thing to do is the movie and a brew type concept of movie taverns. So movietavern.com if you don't win, but caller 13, you got a chance right now. Good luck.
Good luck.
Strohs?
Bounce back.
Thank God, man.
You know, it's funny because they win this, they win the series. That's all I want. I don't care if they lose, you know, ugly games. Just go out and win series. That's it. Just win series.
Well,
they're 7-8 on the road. That 2/3 of their games have been on the road. Yep. I'm not going to freak out.
Nope.
You know, some have been in the division, so that kind of sucks. But this was a good road team last year. I suspect they'll get better as everything calms down.
People forget that they were undefeated at home when they lost the first one in Minnesota. But the bigger picture was the starting pitching that was so good was failing. And then last night I turned on the TV again and I flipped channels for a quick second and I come back and they're down, what, 3-0. And I go, the hell happened? It was, I was guaranteeing myself. I saw a couple outs. I'm like, this isn't going to be the same way it's been going. And then all of a sudden, and then I'm watching them. And again, same pattern, getting guys on base, getting leadoff men on base, not being able to get them around. I'm going, please don't make this another one of those games of missed opportunities. And then finally, the bats explode. They chipped away, and then they finally just opened it up.
And you figure all that that's gone wrong on the road and the three-game losing streak and the way that they lost to the Rangers twice and then at home against the Twins, all of that going on, there's four teams in the AL that have above or a 60% winning percentage or higher. They're one of them. Of the four, they have the lowest at 609. Mm-hmm. But a half game behind the Mariners. A game in the loss column behind the American League leading Tampa Bay Rays.
Right.
All of that goes on, and they're still not the Yankees at a 56-5 winning clip or the Red Sox at a 37-5.
Really struggling.
The Indians at a 54.5 winning percentage. It could be a lot worse, trust me. You could be 3, 4, 5 back in this division as bad as they've played a time.
And it would be if the futility was you weren't getting hits. You weren't getting guys on base. You weren't having opportunities to score. The bottom line is until they blasted out of it last night late, they at least, and you go back in the games that you were talking about, the last two games in Arlington, they still had the leadoff runner on in almost every inning in each of the games. Mm-hmm. They were in a position. They could have folded up their tents in the last game in Arlington and gone home when they were down 10-1. and they lost with the bases loaded down a run at 11-10.
Yeah.
So it's not like you could, the starting pitching I was concerned about because of the trend, but it looks like, you know, but Miley snapped out of it. After a tough first inning, he settled in. I think he retired something like 14 in a row at one point. So that looks good. And with Verlander on the hill tonight, you got to feel better about your chances.
Absolutely. Did you know, I told you they had a 60.9 winning percentage.
Mm-hmm.
You know what that would put them in the NL?
Best record in the league.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Isn't that wild? The Cardinals, shout out Josh Rapp, 60.9 winning percentage, best record in the NL based on winning percentage.
Yeah, they got back at the Brewers a couple times.
Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. So that's they're okay. And I don't suspect that the Tampa Bay Rays are going to continue to win 66% of their games. Tampa Bay Rays are good.
They're a good team.
But they're not going to win 66% of their games.
And remember now, you got Snell on
the literally winning every series.
Snell's on the injured list with the stub, the broken toe and the bathroom incident. That hurts you because now you've got one of your really reliable starters out along with Charlie Morton.
Yep.
So you're going to have to see how they're going to have to make shift. Everybody goes through injuries, and we know the Yankees, no one's gone through more than them.
It's amazing.
They're finding a way to win. That tells you what kind of minor league system they have and talent evaluators. Because I told you two nights ago that 8 of the 9 position players, including the designated hitter, that were in the lineup made $600,000 or less for the New York Yankees.
Yeah.
That the highest paid player on the field playing defense for the Yankees was Brett Gardner at $7.5 million.
It's crazy.
Judge was out. Stanton was out. All these guys out. So they're keeping it together with some glue and some tape,
yeah.
But you know they're going to be back. The Red Sox, on the other hand, all their guys are playing for the most part. They're pitching. They're not pitching. And they're not getting timely hits, and they're losing.
The Red Sox and the Baltimore Orioles right now might be two of the ugliest teams in baseball or in the American League besides the Royals.
And one of them was expected.
Yeah, one of them we kind of figured that the Baltimore Orioles were going to be bad. But the fact that the Red Sox are a minus 43, I mentioned the Royals at 7-17. They have the lowest, they have the worst record in the American League, but their plus minus is still a minus 26. The Red Sox plus minus is a minus 43. That's how awful their pitching has been and how little run support that they're getting. They have not scored 100 runs yet on the season. There are
Come
two
on,
teams.
Man. You got to believe that that continues. Dallas Keuchel's phone should be ringing.
They've given up 142. That's the most in the American League. And they haven't scored 100 yet. They're at 99 runs. There are two other teams that haven't scored 100, the Indians and the Tigers. But at least they've given up 87 and 80 runs respectively. So their plus minus is minus 3 and minus 8. The Red Sox right now are awful.
Yeah.
I'm not telling you that they're slumping. They're just going through a tough patch of 3 in a row. They are awful right now.
They need to reconsider Craig Kimbrell.
They
need to pick up the phone and call Dallas Keuchel. And they have plenty of money to make sure that they can save this season before it's too late. Because this is the Red Sox. This isn't the Royals. This isn't the Orioles. This isn't teams that aren't expected to win. This is a team that's your reigning World Series champions. If you truly want to hang in there, you might want to be a little more loose with the purse strings and say there are some guys out there that it can at least short-term. Because we said Uvalde's going to miss about 2 months.
Yeah. And we knew that the Boston bullpen was going to be bad. Like, you knew that they were going to struggle. And that was, I mean, even, you know.
And yet you let your closer walk away.
But at the beginning of the season, we said that their strengths were their hitting and their starting pitching. That what's going to hold this team back is their bullpen. But they are the worst starting pitching team in baseball. And it's not even close. Their starters ERA is 6.22.
Yeah.
The teams that are in their ballpark right now, the Angels at a 6.01, the Rangers at a 6.10, and they pitch in a little league park,
in the hot box,
and the White Sox have a 6.12. Red Sox by .10 are the worst in baseball at a 6.22. It's not even close. That's what's killing them. I mean, never mind the fact that they haven't scored many runs. They're pitching. They're starting pitching.
If you're the Red Sox, pick up the phone now and try and get going because there's still a chance that you could salvage it. And you're from a closer, and we mentioned the bullpen. Your bullpen gets considerably better when you can get a closer of Craig Kimbrell's stature back, which you've already had.
Yeah.
Because you know that he helped make your bullpen better last year.
He did. Black hats.
See?
Two guitars. Two icons. country music stars Clint Black and Trace Adkins, and special guests. Y'all, they're all coming to the Houston area this summer at Smart Financial Center. Pre-sale tickets are going on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. Get your tickets at LiveNation.com. That's LiveNation.com. Get your tickets for Clint Black and Trace Adkins right now. Plenty more on the show. We'll be back right after this. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting InnovationMap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. ESPN 97.5 Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the Usual Suspects, hour number two, 3 hour show. Everything is just buttoned up. It is a tight ship we run around here.
What part of this song don't you understand?
There's plenty when they get into the fast dialogue of.
Even
a lot of people have a problem with that. What are they saying when they?
This one is, it is
no one knows what a gotamoosh is.
You got three.
Why
of
do you
them?
Always want to poke holes in you my list?
You got three gotamooshes. What are you talking about? I'm just saying that song, man.
Oh, you're saying a lot. You exactly. Always do.
It's always fun picking on Joel and his list. It's too easy.
Because he gets so upset. He's like,
but that one actually,
why are you always picking on me, huh?
But that one is actually, I can understand parts of that song being difficult to understand. I get this one, so.
Thanks, Nick.
I don't get these interns, though.
What's up with that?
So we have I'm about to get rid of my second intern of my entire career.
Oh, snap.
Intern Claire
over
here.
What did Jose Partida do? He hates when I do that.
Intern Claire over here is like,
Claire?
Her name is Claire.
Okay.
Yeah, she's, you know.
She's new?
She's new.
I haven't recognized her.
She wants to be a Coug, and I respect that.
She wants to be a Coug. She's not a Coug yet.
Yeah, well, she's, you know, community college, going to transfer later kind
Claire,
of thing.
Don't worry. It ain't hard to get into U of H. You'll be a Coug.
Don't listen to that
Trust
guy.
Trust me.
He went to some school where the team name was the Fighting Phoenixes.
Are you upright and breathing? Congratulations, you're a UH Cougar. That's all you got to do is just have a pulse.
And she comes They'll in, and she in. Doesn't like Joel's number. Joel's caller number 13. You know how we do giveaways?
Yeah.
And Joel picks caller number 13.
Okay.
And she's like, y'all should totally do caller number 97. Y'all are 97.5. I'm like, oh.
Oh, you want.
She wants to put that much effort
oh,
in?
Oh, you want to. So guess what, Claire? 315, we're going to do a giveaway. And it's going to be caller 97. Or
damn
should we
right.
do caller number 975, considering we're 97.5? Which one should we do, Claire?
First of all,
get
975.
Ready to answer the phones, Claire.
It would be 6 o'clock on the blitz before she gets through 1,000 calls. That's the first thing. Second thing is, I'm fine with doing 97.
Yeah.
But someone's got to sit there and make sure she takes 97 calls.
And identifies each of the calls. You're caller number one.
Yeah. And thank
you're
them for
caller
listening.
Number two.
Thank you for listening. My name is Claire, and I did this to myself.
We went through this
caller
before with Trey and others.
Yep.
You can't just go 3, 4. Fat, no.
That's what Trey does.
Yeah, and that's not acceptable.
No, Trey skips numbers on accident. It's not even on purpose. He's like caller number 4, caller number 7, 9. Like he just
you're caller number L. Wait,
we're not doing the alphabet.
Caller P. I don't know what's going on.
Claire, it's from the Breakfast Club, isn't it?
I believe I think so. That was the klepto. Was it the klepto?
When Judd Nelson is giving it to verbally chastising Molly Ringwald.
Is that Claire? Is she Claire?
I think so.
Oh, I thought the klepto was Claire.
With your hoity-toity Claire.
Oh, man, maybe so. All right, so we're doing caller 97 for the giveaway, huh?
I was just kidding, but I think it would be funny.
We're not kidding.
If
make
she
her
said
struggle.
She wanted it to be caller 97?
She's all hard and tough intern. Yeah. Not taking call. Well, here we go, Claire.
She wants to show that effort.
I'd like the record to reflect that it was not me that was hating on the intern.
It was me.
For once.
But she kicked the door in.
Known as the intern-hater. Not fair, by the way.
Oh, accurate.
Completely not accurate. But I've been labeled and branded as the intern-hater. Yet, who's kicked interns off the show? I believe you
I
led.
I haven't kicked anybody. You can't take the heat.
I believe
you can't
you
take
led.
The heat and you leave is
Bitch,
what happened.
I will go back on this app right now and rewind you where you said, I'm about to kick another intern off this show.
That was today, yeah.
Yeah, I believe you said that 4 minutes ago.
That was a joke, though, because the first one wasn't me. He couldn't take the heat.
Who?
Your boy Radu.
Oh, Radu?
Yeah.
Man, Radu.
He just quit.
Did he really?
I promise you. He hasn't been here since that day.
He quit.
Even the promo side?
No, I think he's still doing that.
Okay, because I saw
him. I think he just quit at a
couple of our. He's been at a couple of our promo.
Which, I'm not mad at that.
I ain't mad if you quit working for free.
I ain't mad at that at all.
I ain't going to begrudge you of that. But how are you going to suck at working for free? Like, you weren't even good at that. All you had to do was show up on time. He couldn't even do that.
See, now you're hating on your own boy and the intern.
No, I'm hating on my boy, not the intern. I'm hating on Radu, my friend. Oh, late ass Radu. That is a reflection on me, man. How you gonna come in here and they not even work on our show? Hey, I got a podcast to do. No, you don't. You do. You have to podcast The Usual Suspects.
You got it wrong, though. A lot of times he would show up on time and then disappear.
Get Tyler on the mic. Tyler will sit there and tell you every time I come in, where's your boy? Not my boy. I didn't have him. He's not my child. Look. Not my child.
That's a bad look.
I recommended him for this position.
Then how do you explain Trey? He is your child.
But I am his daddy. I will never recommend it. Radu has ruined it. If you want an internship and you were going to go through me, hit up Radu on Twitter and say, thanks a lot. Barry won't recommend me because I'm never putting my neck on the line again.
I've been that guy. I've done that before.
You're not going to show up? That's a reflection on me. You sent us this lazy a-hole. We don't want him. It's like, well, now I know.
That's a very good point.
Yeah.
It's no matter what happens, it's a reflection on you. So.
Not doing that again. Promise you that. No more intern recommendations.
All
from
interns
me.
Should be, can inquire with Tyler Scott.
And yes.
Yes, right?
Yes. At, what is his Twitter?
Intern candidates.
Whatever.
Can all inquire with Tyler Scott.
What's it? Tyler?
Tyler Co. is
he,
his
he
screen
changed
name.
It. I think it's Tyler Drew Scott. Or
Dean?
Or something like that.
Is it Drew? T-Dog?
Here it is. It's Tyler Drew Scott.
I was right.
At Tyler Drew Scott. Tyler Cito on Twitter. Goodness. But if you are wanting to inquire about internships, that's who you hit up. That's how you do it. Therefore, we don't have to be responsible for those that drop our names and then drop the ball.
Yeah.
What's Radu, like 36 and he didn't want to make a name for himself?
Not 36.
Well, we do that around here.
He's 35.
Okay, so give or take a couple of months.
I don't know how old he is. He's mid-20s. Okay. I mean, he just graduated not too long ago from guess where? U of H. Well, they'll take anyone that breathes.
Nick's wearing the hat
true.
Today.
It's not
really?
True.
Nick?
You need to put some respect on that institution.
Do you
that
breathe?
Fine institution.
Do you breathe, Nick?
I do.
They'll take anyone that breathes.
Who was it?
Prove me wrong. Prove
Jack
me wrong.
Jack J. Valenti was not only...
Prove me
don't
wrong.
Don't worry, Nick. If he doesn't get the CPAP, he may not be breathing for long. So it's all going to be fine in the end.
He's just going to
die
in
his sleep. Karma's going to catch up with him
I'm
with that
slide
damn CPAP.
Right into your chair, bro.
I'm going to die 15. Yep. You worried about me? You need to be worried about him.
Yeah, you might. Dude, you're not in shape either. You're not running as much as you
I
used
ran
to.
Last night. I told him I'm getting back into it. Worrying about me.
Cholesterol is a killer.
I didn't go to the doctor and get that bad report.
Cholesterol is a killer. Wait till you get your report.
I will.
You are not the beacon of health,
my
friend.
And I don't have a cavity because I already got the dentist out of the way, too. I still have never had a cavity in my life. Take that.
I have. Straight up.
I mean, okay.
That's a good thing.
No, that's really good. I'm happy for you. You sound like a 9-year-old right now. I don't have no cavities.
Wait. I just am joining the club of sounding like a 9-year-old. So.
Oh, wow. That was a good comeback. That was literally a 9-year-old comeback. I know you are, but what am I?
Stop bickering. Go to break.
Oh, Paul George. All right, we got to go. Two in the books, one still to go. The Big Show. 60 minutes on the clock when we come back. It's The Usual Suspects. It's ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi there, we are James and Dan Twofort of the hit UK podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
Each week we get around the microphones with our four favorite facts that we've learned over the last 7 days and sit down to blow each other's mind.
Yeah, here's a fact for you, Dan.
Yep.
In knot theory, a circle of rope without a knot is technically a knot. But it's called a not.
Very good. I go on here as well. In 2019, a marathon runner with the words Jesus Saves written on his bib had a heart attack but was revived by a man called Jesus.
That is amazing. If you want to hear more facts like that, search for No Such Thing as a Fish wherever you get your podcasts.